Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello, you are listening to Just Films and That. This is the podcast where we talk about films we think might be underrated or underseen. This week, it's 101 Dalmatians from 1996. So, let's see what we think. Alice.
Mm-hmm.
Loads of Dalmatians.
Oh my days, so 101 many. Dalmos for days.
Dalmos for days, mate. Mm-hmm. Hey, Dalmation.
Yeah.
So this is 101 Dalmatians from 1996, so spoiler warnings if you haven't seen it at home. Alice, you picked this one, so, I mean, most people are going to know what it's about, but tell them in 10 seconds what 101 Dalmatians is about. I bet you can guess, and why did you pick this one? I'm interested to know.
So, might need just a tad more than 10 seconds, but I'll give it a go. So, 101 Dalmatians is a live-action remake of the Disney animated film 101 Dalmatians. So, our romantic leads, Anita and Roger, have a meet-cute and fall in love very quickly, as do their dogs, Pongo and Purdy. They then go on to have 15 puppies, the dogs, not the people, but Anita's boss, Cruella De Vil, makes things a bit difficult as she loves fur and she loves a black and white aesthetic. So, naturally, she wants the puppies so she can skin them and wear their fur. Of course she does. And she has the dogs kidnapped, hijinks ensue, but everything turns out all right in the end. And Anita and Roger are left with, in the end, 101 Dalmatians and counting.
Indeed.
So that's what the film is about. Why did I pick it? A few different reasons why I picked it. The main one is I do think this is a little bit underrated.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll get to that later on in the episode. I also did just kind of want to talk about it as a Disney remake, which are obviously all the rage at the moment, you know, they're just kind of churning them out one after another.
Yeah.
And this just popped into my head one day and I was like, oh shit, that's a Disney live action remake.
It is.
But it feels completely separate from what's happening at the moment.
In that it's much better, yeah.
Just, in that.
And there's not CGI, but, you think, what is that? Some sort of nightmarish creation, what's that?
Well, absolutely those things. And just the sort of time that it was done. So this was still in the 90s.
Mm.
I do think, I was reading somewhere that they did a Jungle Book live-action remake in 94. Yeah, but I haven't seen that and I wasn't even aware of that. So kind of wanted to pick it for that as well. And also, just a tiny little personal connection as well. So the external shots of the church where Anita and Roger get married is where my mum and dad got married.
Oh, wow.
And my dad is called Roger. Oh, my God.
That's mad. So did your mum and dad, A, did they get married in London, or B, is that church from where your mum and dad, like, is that from London? Is that from Wales, that church?
No, that is in London. So, right. Like, so my mum's from London originally, and dad had moved down there for work. They met, got married, and then moved up to North Wales and had us. But yeah, my mum got so excited when we watched it for the first time. She was like, I got married in that church. I was like, Mum, you're pissed again. Let's stop.
That's adorable.
Yeah, it is. My mom is pretty adorable, to be fair.
She is. So it's funny, yeah, because I was thinking that. Because what I thought was, well, is this the first of the Disney remakes?
Mm.
And on one hand, it's not, because yes, they made The Jungle Book in 1994, because I think that's got Brandon Lee in it. No, does it have Brandon Lee in it?
Oh, I don't know.
No, there might be a Jungle Book with Brandon Lee in it. But anyway, they did make one in the 90s. But... Yeah. They've made it again, haven't they?
So,
I think really this is probably the first one.
Oh, interesting.
Because otherwise you can't, you know, how many times are you going to remake The Jungle Book?
Yeah, I you know. Endless.
So it is one of the remakes. It's just that it happened 25 years before, you know, the next one.
Just so much longer before. So I'm intrigued. Like, I'd love to know the decision-making process behind that. So why why decide almost out of nowhere to do a live action Disney remake, and why that one? And I wonder if maybe they'd seen the success of other sort of dog centric films, things like Beethoven, things like Homeward Bound, although timing wise, I'm not 100% sure when Homeward Bound came out in relation to this, but I just wondered if they saw something, they saw a possibility there. It was like, let's get loads of dogs on screen doing cute things, right?
There's probably something in that because this is the same writer as Beethoven.
Well, there you go.
John Hughes, who also did everything in the 80s.
Everything else?
Yeah. Anyway, so... All right. You picked this one then.
Yeah, but had you seen it before?
I had seen it before. I believe I saw this at the Pictures.
Oh, lovely.
I have a memory of this coming out. Obviously, would have been like 5 or 6, but I've definitely seen, whether I saw it at the Pictures or not, I've definitely seen it before, definitely enjoyed it before. I like this film. I would say I'm fond of this film, probably for similar reasons to you in the nostalgia. So having watched this again, then, did it hold up for you? Did you like it? What did you like about it?
So I did like it. And you know what I liked about it? There's dogs in it.
Yeah, Dalmatians.
There's loads of dogs.
More than just Dalmatians as well, to be
fair. There's so many dogs. Almost every different type of dog you can think of. Because when they have the wedding ceremony in the external shots, there's like 100 different types of dog there.
Yeah.
So many dogs in this, loads of really just well-trained, smart, obedient, highly skilled dogs, and they were all just fabulous. And I think the film does a terrific job at connecting you with them and creating personalities for them. And then it's not just the dogs, but there's a whole array of animals in this, mostly farm animals, and then somehow some raccoons and a skunk.
Yeah, who are obviously not indigenous to the UK, but we'll...
Here for vacation for our friends across the pond. So just so you know, for those living in the States, we don't have raccoons and skunks here. So that was a bit of a surprise. Yep.
I mean, there will be some here, but I don't think they live in the wild.
Right, okay, yeah. If they're here, it's here by accident.
They're working, if anything.
With the animal agency.
They're on a visa.
They're film stars.
There are lots of dogs. If you like dogs and other animals, this is going to be up there for you, I think.
Yeah, exactly. So that is obviously a huge... It's a huge part of it, but it's also what they do with the dogs. And they, you know, it is so dog-centric and you get so much from them. Similar to Beethoven, where they design, they use sort of the filmic and cinematic techniques to design the personalities and like the motivations behind these dogs and stuff. And I just thought it did it really well. I think it's cast really well as well. So I love Jeff Daniels as Roger. I think he's really likable and funny and just feels really perfect for this role. I really like Hugh Laurie as well. I totally forgot he was in this. So he plays Jasper, who's like one of Cruella's goons. And then, speaking of, Glenn Close as Cruella DeVille. Oh my days. She is just marvelous. It's 100% pure evil Disney villain. And the entire way that she's been designed and the way she presents herself, so like the costume, the hair, the props, the language she uses, the way she speaks and holds herself, like just her demeanor in general is so engaging and it just totally works. And I loved as well, I don't know if you noticed in the opening credits, she gets top billing. She's the villain. She gets top billing.
It was, so that's one of my memories of this, because I think we had it on DVD. It's all her. It's like she is top billing. She's playing Cruella DeVille. It's all about her playing Cruella DeVille. I mean, I have a big swing about Glenn Close. I have a big point to make about Glenn Close in this film. But anyway, I'll either make it now or you can carry on. What would you prefer?
Yeah, go on. Make it now. Do it.
Okay, here's my big Glenn Close point about this film, right? Mm-hmm. People have won Oscars for worst performances.
Yeah.
I think she's fucking great in this.
Yeah.
I think she's so good. She's absolutely going for it. She's not even in it as much as I remember. She's in it quite a bit at the start, then she's not in it that much, and then she comes back into it again. And I think she nails it. I mean, I found her scary when I was a kid.
I remember thinking
it's scary. I think scarier than the cartoon as well.
Yeah.
Because obviously the cartoon, the bit that I always found scary when I was a kid in the cartoon was the bit where she's driving after them and she's sort of wild-haired and her eyes are red and stuff like that, which obviously they can't really do in a live-action one, not if they want to make it look real like they do in this. But I think she's brilliant in this. I think she carries so much of it. I mean, it's not a perfect film, which I'm sure we'll get into, but it's worth it for her.
Oh, I totally agree. And you know what I'd sort of forgotten as well is just how physical she's being. And like at one point she is fully covered in shit.
Which she did for ages.
she falls into a pool of what seems like very, very wet manure at first, and then eventually falls into another pile of slightly more solidified manure. And she's in that, in the sort of dirty costume for quite a long time. And it looks heavy as fuck. Like, it looks like it weighs a ton.
And I believe that she was very insistent. So she's quite a method actor, Glenn Close, which we've touched on, whether you do or you don't like it. The fact is she did. She was in that, well, obviously it's not manure. It's like, I believe it was some sort of like molasses.
Yeah,
or something like that. So she was in that for ages, trying to nail that look of being covered in shit and manure. And you know, sometimes you can really see people earning their money. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure there's much that would earn you the amount of money that some of these people get paid. I don't know what she got paid for this, so it might not have done. But I think it's fair to say if there's a performance that earns it, this is one of them.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. Totally agree. Oh, good. I'm glad we're both there with Glenn on that. And so sort of speaking of as well, I do think there are some great stunts in this and some of the ones that we just discussed there with Cruella. But some of the ones I really liked were when Pongo starts pulling Roger along on his bicycle, like pulling him through London. And it feels like so chaotic and madcap and a bit slapstick. And it's all just quite fun, but it feels quite... like, it feels so real. Like, I was like, oh, fuck, he's going to fall and smash his head in. Because he's not wearing helmets, obviously. None of these people. I think, is Anita wearing a helmet on her bicycle? I can't remember.
I don't think anyone is.
Roger's definitely not wearing a helmet. But I really enjoyed that. And obviously, with that, you get a lot of this London scenery. You do get a lot of London scenery throughout the film. Obviously, the geography of places is a bit all messed up and stuff. Like, it doesn't make sense.
But any film made in America, in London, particularly for all audiences, but let's be honest, a lot of American audiences, the geography's all wrong, and equally it looks like nobody lives in London.
And it's so clean and wonderful.
25
and magical.
People are in Piccadilly Circus, just because you're looking at it, and if you've ever known any of that film, you look at it going, that is 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
It has to be. There's no way.
Yeah, for sure. There's something quite like festive for me about London at winter. And obviously it's not quite the reality that it's beautiful white snow and everything's, you know, so clean and immaculate and stuff, but it was enjoyable and I could suspend my disbelief for the film. I think as well, something that I hadn't really noticed before is, and this isn't necessarily a like or a dislike, but just something I noticed was the similarities between this and Home Alone. So not only in terms of the characters Jasper and Horace, who obviously remind me very much of Harry and Marv, but also even some of the camera techniques and like the shots and the camera movement and stuff. And then physically, some of the way that the shots were set up and the ways in which characters interacted with one another. I felt like you could really feel... Home Alone was before this, right?
Yeah, so Home Alone 1 and 2 are 1990 and either 91 or 92. I can't remember. But yeah, and again, same writer. So John Hughes wrote Home Alone and wrote this. Which is...
So you can see that, I think.
Yeah, there's a period in this. It's not necessarily a dislike. It's something I noticed, but there is a period in this of about 5 or 10 minutes where it's almost like they just copied the script for Home Alone 2, because there's the bit where the moose head falls on Hugh Laurie and the bit where Mark Williams, did he fall out of a window into a lake? And the way it's done, obviously the stunts are different, but silly men getting hurt by silly things happens and it feels very similar, but it's not exactly the same. It just, like, I know what you mean. There's a little hint of Home Alone in there, a little sort of little bit of spice in there of Home Alone. And you can really get that sort of aftertaste almost.
Yeah, definitely. I completely agree. So what are some of the other things that you liked about this one then?
So yeah, a lot of what you said there. So obviously, you know, we touched on Glenn Close, but again, I think she's brilliant in this. I think she's scary. She's scary in the cartoon. She absolutely owns it. And I'll repeat it again for my big swing. People have won Oscars for worst performances. good cast otherwise.
Name
also,
them, Josh. Yeah. Name them.
Honestly, I will have a think. And if I can think
we'll
of... If you're listening to this and you can think of a performance that is worse than Glenn Close's as Cruella de Vil, I want you to comment on social media or email those films on that pod@gmail.com, because let's try and think of some performances. Let's get Glenn, justice for Glenn. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I'm here for it. Because
she's famously one of the most high profile actors to have never won one.
Really?
Despite the fact that she is incredible in most of the things that she's in. But anyway, so yeah, cast otherwise, I think, are great. Like you say, Jeff Daniels and Jolie Richardson work together well as Roger and Anita, the beigest couple in all of London and plays, but they are. Yeah. But yeah, they do work well together, but my God, they're beige. Hugh Laurie and Mark Williams, that you say, as Jasper and Horace, work together really well. Tim McKernan as well, who plays is it Alfonso or Alonso, her personal assistant.
Alonso, I think it's Alonso.
He's got
the
best line in the film, which is, "What sort of sycophant would you like me to be?"
Yeah, that was brilliant. Yeah, me and Ollie looked at each other and we were like, "That's good dialogue. That's good writing.
Clever that." Yeah. People have won Oscars for worst script.
Justice for Alonso.
Justice for John Hughes. The sadly departed too young John Hughes. But anyway, so yeah, in terms of genre as well, I think there's some good, some bad. Like you say, really good cast. I didn't know it was written by John Hughes until I watched it again. So I thought that really framed me watching this as an adult in terms of the snappy dialogue. What sort of sycophant would you like to be? That sort of stuff. I do think for the most part, they get the balance right between something for the kids and something for the adults. It's funny. There's lots of slapstick for the kids there and other little, you know, cute dogs and other little things like that. There are moments in it where I went, that's weird. And there are some moments that didn't quite land, which I'll come back to. But there are moments where I thought, that's weird. And then you sort of think, it is a kid's film, though. Mm-hmm. So, for example, there's a bit where, obviously, Roger and Anita have both got a Dalmatian who, because they're Dalmatians, look quite similar. And at one point, Roger takes Purdy, who he thinks is Pongo, and starts walking off with her. And Anita stops him and says, "That's my dog." And to check, he looks at her bits. Mm-hmm. And I remember thinking, well, that's fucking weird. She's got a collar on, mate. Why don't you look at the collar? But when you're a kid, bits and that are funny, aren't they?
Well,
so you're probably going to be like, looking at the dog's bits, you know.
Yeah.
Grow up. Do you know what I mean? Get a life is what I'm saying. It's not funny. There's nothing funny about bits. All right.
No.
Anyway, so for the most part, I thought they got the balance right overall. Yeah, I think there's plenty in there. It's warm, it's nostalgic, it's funny, it's lighthearted, a bit of something in there for everyone, really. Okay, then, so we'll move on to things that we perhaps didn't like about 101 Dalmatians or that we would change about it. Give me a difficult one this, Alice. I've got a couple of bits. It's not perfect, but it's not by no means an insultingly bad film. What do we think? What don't we like about it? Not enough Dalmatians?
No, I'm
there is a sequel called
Dalmatians?
102 Dalmatians.
Okay, good. I'll pick that next week. I do actually have quite a few things, but they're all like pretty small.
Yeah.
I'm
a bit like that.
There's no major offenders. So the first one is, I do think Cruella is a little bit one note. Now, don't get me wrong, right? She's fantastic. She's a fantastic Disney villain. But, you know, it is nice to see a villain sometimes with layers to kind of fully understand their motivations and just to create a bit more around them. But she is quite one dimensional and not too dissimilar to the bad guys in Beethoven. They're just bad.
Cackling evil villains.
They want to shoot dogs in the head with bullets. Mm. She wants to skin dogs to wear their fur. It's that sort of thing. And so I might have liked a little bit more sort of build character development or building around her. I think the music is a bit plinky, plonky, plinky, plonky. Just here comes the bad guys. Dom, 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 dom. It was a bit like that. It was quite consistent all the way through as well. Like it felt like it was playing all the time. So it did get a little bit annoying, but it's not out of place for a kids film is the thing. That's exactly
that's
the sort of music
and the time
you would expect
as well.
Yeah, absolutely, that's exactly the sort of thing you would expect to hear. So just moving on from that, now I've got a few points I'm gonna make, right?
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news, ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank.
LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design, thoughtful construction, and little details that make life in your space easier. And now they're bringing that comfort and style outside with their outdoor collection. Burrow's outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry stain-resistant foam cushions. As always, you get free shipping on every order. Get 15% off at burrow.com/acast. burrow.com/acast.
Most of these surround around Anita's character. So I'll share some personal news with you listeners, because this is becoming a bit relevant now as because of the things that I want to talk about in relation to this film. But I am currently 20 weeks pregnant. So when Anita becomes pregnant, it was interesting then for me to hear some of the things that she says about it. So first of all, she seems to go for her first antenatal appointment on her own, with Roger waiting outside, which felt really odd. But obviously, you know, they wanted to get that shot of Roger and Pongo waiting outside the doctors and the vets. So I get it, but it just wasn't believable. And then she then says to Roger at the appointment that the appointment went well and that the baby is nice and big. So you would assume that she has had a scan done to be able to know that information, because otherwise it would be difficult to know if the baby is nice and big. So we infer from that that she's at least 12 weeks pregnant, right? But then, when Cruella is questioning her later, she says that she won't be going on maternity leave for another 8 months, suggesting that she's only 4 weeks pregnant. Now, I'm no doctor, Josh, or medical professional, but I'm pretty sure you can't tell how big a baby is at 4 weeks. Like, it's still like a cell. It's like, it's not really much of...
You might not even know.
Exactly. Well, you don't really, because as soon as you hit the 4 week mark, that's your, like, that's the first day of your, like, you know, your miss period.
When you know you're late and all that. Yeah,
that sort of thing. So I was just like, well, that doesn't make any sense, does it? And then another thing is, so when Purdy, because we get similar scenes, obviously Pongo pulls Roger along on his bicycle, and then later on Purdy pulls Anita along on her bicycle, and then she falls into a pond, which is the same as what Roger did earlier. And then later in the evening, she has a cold. Like, so she starts, you know, speaking and acting like she's got a blocked nose, you know, that sort of thing that you do in cinema to convey that you've got a cold. With the implication being that because she went into the cold water, that she now has a cold. But colds don't work like that. And what I will say, though, is that we do establish that the water is in fact very filthy. So she could be suffering from some other illness that she contracted in the pond, which could also explain the irrational decision that she makes to get engaged to a man that she just met, which is also a little bit crazy. So I think all of this comes back to the things that you're sort of willing to believe in a film and the things that you aren't. So, like, I can believe that all these dogs are hyper-intelligent and that they spread messages cross-county and sometimes even to other species. Like, we establish those rules in the film and you just go along with it. But some of the other stuff, like getting engaged to someone on the day you meet them, is just, it's a little bit jarring because of how silly it seems. And then that just brings me on to my final point, which is I do think that some of the elements of this film are really much more targeted towards younger audience and that the focus is on the children as opposed to the adults. So I find the script quite simplistic and obvious. The whole thing is obviously a bit cartoony and everything feels really obvious and clear to understand with no nuance, no reading between the lines, etc. So as an adult, I don't think it actually has as much to offer because of those things, but it still absolutely works as a kid's film. But I know you said earlier that you thought the balance was quite spot on. And there are moments.
Mostly. Yeah. But I agree, there is the odd bit where it's like, why have you put that? There is literally a bit in this film where Mark Williams, when they get in the van with Hugh Laurie says something about his dick shriveling up.
Yeah, a shrinky winky. Yeah, gives him a shrinky winky. I thought that as well.
Yeah, what a weird line to leave in. And it's similar with the. So I originally picked up on the thing I said about looking at Purdy's bits to see if she's a girl instead of a collar, which I sort of wrote off in my head as well. That, you know, kids will find that funny. And also, there's a really weird bit where all the puppies drink a cow's milk.
Yeah, that was a bit weird.
And it's just weird. It's like no one went, why have you put that in? It's strange. So no, I completely agree. There are, it does skew a little young, which is fine because it is a kid's film. It's a family film. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But obviously that means as an adult, you are much more likely to just sort of switch off whilst the kids are watching it or whatever. No, I completely agree with what you're saying there.
Mm-hmm. So, but that was it for me. And they are quite small things. And like none of that is going to ruin it for me, to be honest. So what about you? What are some things that you dislike or that you would change?
Well, first of all, thanks for telling me live on the podcast that you're pregnant.
I know, yeah. Cheers. Surprise!
No. No, obviously she told me at the 4-week scan.
yeah, it was a big health. It's a big healthy baby.
The doctor said it was a big baby at that point, and I was in there. You know, Alice's husband was like, "What the fuck are you doing here?" And I said, "Well, I just want to know if the doctor says if it's big or not." And he said, "Can you get out, please?" And then I went out, and your dog was weirdly waiting outside the vet's.
Yeah, she does that. She does
which
that.
Was next to her. Which was next to an obstetrician. anyway, no. So yeah. Well, yeah. Congratulations, obviously. But also, no. It's mostly what you said there, in that the balance between. For kids and for adults is a little bit weird. I felt like some stuff was a little bit repeated from Home Alone. So there is that element of like, who's this for? I did think about 2/3 of the way in, sort of once the human characters drop out of it a bit more, it became a bit more boring.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's a long period where it's just dogs, and dogs are great. Yeah. And we, you know, and all that, but there's just a bit where it's definitely for the kids, where you're watching that bit. The only other thing is this has a big pet peeve of mine. So everything you've said, I completely agree with. There's a pet peeve of mine, which is, and we sort of touched on it earlier, US script writing in a UK setting.
So there's
the skunks and the raccoons, right? Mm-hmm. You know what? I can live with that.
Yeah.
I can't live with is Jasper saying, "Get out of my truck."
Mm-hmm.
And then the police officer at the end saying they're all going to the pound.
Sorry, pound,
mate, what are you talking about,
pound.
Mate? What's the pound?
Yeah.
What's that? No, they're going to an animal shelter, mate. That's where they're going. The pound? What's the pound? Like, so that annoys me because it's just so easily fixed. Mm-hmm. Either set it in America and then you can say pound and truck all you want. Don't set it in London where no one lives.
Mm-hmm.
Famously where no one lives. And you say truck and pound. So, yeah. Overall, I thought it was, you know, I do think it's good. But there are those little things that I think, and I think you probably agree, stop it from being elevated to a bit more of a classic. You know, you're sort of your top tiers, whereas this is just, it's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we'll move on to talking about the critical reception then. Now, I don't know how it did at the critical reception. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's underseen because I'm fairly certain this was a fairly big hit because they did then make a sequel and it has sort of stuck around. You know, it's still on Disney Plus and they did, you know, they made Cruella, which is a prequel, I think, to this because she's very much the same as Glenn Close, but I haven't actually seen it yet because I saw that it was 2.5 hours and I thought, what the fuck could possibly be? What could possibly be in a Cruella prequel film that would mean it's 2.5 hours long?
Well, I think we need to find out, Josh. If you pick it,
Alice, I will not watch it.
I've not seen it. Don't worry.
But you think it's underrated. So I think, you know, what would I give it? I think this is a solid 7.
Well, yes.
Yeah, you know, it's not. The things we were talking about in the dislikes, that would push it into the 8s and 8.5s.
Okay,
so I think this is a high 6, low 7. So let's call it a flat 7.
Okay.
I think to be underrated, you're looking at anything under a low 6 and below, really. Mm-hmm. And I think if it did get that, I think it would be underrated. It's not perfect, but I suppose, would a kid now enjoy this? I think for the most part they would, but I think that there'd probably be some issues with attention in some bits.
Okay. Yeah, I get you.
If kids watching it now, the bit where all the dialogue drops out, are they going to go on their Switch or their iPad? Yeah, maybe. Yeah. I don't know. Kids today, they just don't appreciate remakes of 101 Dalmatians. So go on, lay the scores on me.
Rightio then. So at the time of recording over on IMDb, it gets 5.7. And then over on Rotten Tomatoes, the audience give it 40% and the critics give it 39%. And it was that 39, Josh. It was that 39 that made me go, ouch.
It's not that
and
bad.
Just because you brought it up then, I just Googled quickly the sort of budget versus box office. The budget was $3.6 million and it made $303 million. So a wonderful financial success. And it's surprising that they didn't just continue with the remakes immediately after that, right? With that sort of number.
I mean, it's not underseen, is it? But it is.
Nope.
For me, that's underrated.
Yeah, good. I'm glad.
I'm not even worth the average out, but listening to that, the threes and the fours. That's
it's gonna be like a four. That'll be like a 4.8 or something, average. So I was a bit nervous because I'd sort of already picked it before checking the scores, because I was like, I wanted to pick something, you know, that was quite enjoyable and fun for this time of year, as we try to do. And I just thought, oh yeah, that's one. And because I'd started thinking about it in terms of Disney remakes, oh, why did this come out so much sooner than everything else? So I picked it. And then I was like, oh, crumbs, I should probably check the critical reception as well. And I checked it. I was genuinely surprised. I was genuinely expecting to see sort of sixes.
I'm not surprised it wasn't well received. I am surprised it was that poorly received.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm going to say, underrated, I think.
Yeah, me too, definitely. 101 Dalmatians, a live-action remake, underrated. Well, there we go. Another film there to fight those January blues. 101 Dalmatians, the live-action remake, and we think that is underrated. But let us know what you think on social media, for sure. Anyway, Josh, continuing our streak, hopefully. I hope we haven't gone for anything too dark or too traumatizing, but we're trying to keep it light here for the month of January on the podcast. So do tell us, what are we going to be watching next week?
Next week, we are going to be watching and talking about the Adam Sandler film, Big Daddy.
Okay.
And we'll say no more about it.
Maybe I'll say, Josh, do you want me to call you Big Daddy?
Nope.
We're
not going for that. That's fine. Right. But I could call you Big Mummy. I mean, that's...
You can now. That's appropriate.
Yeah, indeed. It remains to be seen. Will Alice have a baby or some sort of winged, hoofed creature?
It's hard to say.
You don't know what her husband looks like. But no, obviously, congratulations from all of us here, you know, in front of the mic, behind the mic, you know, producers, all that sort of stuff. Obviously, congratulations to Alice. She'll still be around for the meantime, though, so we're stuck with her.
Many weeks to go.
We will be back next week with an episode talking about Big Daddy. In the meantime, if you'd like to get in touch with us, it's filmsandthatpod@gmail.com. We're on all the social medias. Just search for Just Films and That on, you know, Facebook, Twitter, X, TikTok, YouTube, Instagram. We're on all of them. We're on Patreon as well. The link to that is in the episode description if you'd like to get a little bit of extra content for a little bit of money. Ad-free extended episodes released early every Monday for £1 a month. The link is in the episode description, Films and That Pod. Patreon.com/Films and That. Alice, we're on the television as well. We
are indeed. Every Friday from 6 p.m. you can find us on the local TV network. So what that means is if you live in Birmingham, Bristol, Leeds, Liverpool or the northeast of England, you can find us on Channel 7 on Freeview. Or if you live in North Wales or South Wales, you can find us on Channel 8 on Freeview. And I'm also uploading all the episodes onto Dailymotion. So if you head on over there and search Just Films and That, you'll be able to see exactly what it is we're up to.
Yes, lots of ways to see us, hear us, and we will be back next week. Goodbye from me. Cheerio!
Bye, Big Daddy.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.